If you recall, on Sunday, we left off with a question or a dilemma, and the dilemma is, do we or don't we bring up the issue of why is it that bad things happen to good people? We left with this dilemma in mind simply because we said that within Chazal we find two opposing views. One view is that they do bring up the question, and the other point of view is where God says, shut up, you don't understand it, and therefore don't even bring it up. Don't even suggest answers because you shouldn't even bring up the question. And we let you stand on this. Do you or don't you bring it up? And again, we're not talking about what are the answers to that amazing cardinal dilemma, which is part and parcel of life. But rather, do we at all bring up the question? And I'd like to give you my point of view that I have to admit I've totally adopted from my Rebbe, Rav Yehuda Amital Zichrono Livracha. Nothing I'm about to say is original, but when the first time I heard it, it was like getting water in a hot desert. It was like the drink of caffeine after a fast day. The story is very simple. In 1998, at the end of the year, right before Tisha B'Av, the last night of the year, we had an all-night learning session. Sort of end the time of the learning of that particular year with an all-night learning session. In the midst of it, there was a tish. We sit together with the Rosh Yeshiva, and this is what the Rav Amital said, and I was there, and later it was published, and it was just an amazing night for me. He said, someone came up to me, when he reads the keynotes on Tisha B'Av, everything seems so modest. All the tragedies compared to the tragedies of the Holocaust. I mean, how many people were killed? Korban Bayit Rishon, Korban Bayit Sheni, all those destructions, you don't get to 6 million. Not to mention the other tragedies of the Holocaust. And here's the answer he gave him. He said to him, and I quote, that's a question for you. You're right. You're absolutely right. Whoever doesn't read the keynote and says all this is nothing compared to the Holocaust, either doesn't know what the Holocaust was, or is denying that the Holocaust ever happened. And I'm looking and I'm saying, wow, this is the first time in my life that I've heard such a thing. Usually people try to reconcile, no, the Churban Bayit is bigger than you think, and it was terrible for the Jewish people, and therefore we daven for it till this very day. Seriously, looking at a point of view, all those tragedies are nothing compared to the Holocaust. But then he went one step further. He said that he himself has 10,000 questions against God regarding bad things happening to good people during the years of the Holocaust that he personally experienced. And yet, he has 1,000% emunah in God, faith in God, at the same time. And that's the point of view that I'd like to share with you. 1,000% questions and 1,000% emunah. 1,000% questions means you don't say bad things happen to good people, but it's really not bad things, and maybe you're not judging it correctly. No! It's bad, say it's bad! It's terrible! It's awful! There's a bracha, Dayan HaEmes, on bad things. You say it on things that are bad. But yet at the same time, you don't make your faith in God, your entire religiosity, dependent upon the answers to those questions, because forget adequate answers to those questions. Despite all the literature on the question of bad things happening to good people, no one has yet gotten to the central answer that answers all questions. And he said it in context, and I'd like to quote to you from a very obscure source that nobody ever looks at. I always feel when I quote from obscure sources, I'm actually taking out a mate mitzvah. The Hoshanos. Remember the Hoshanos? On Hoshana Rabbah, most years we don't say it during Sukkot, except for on Hoshana Rabbah. The third Hoshana, or the fourth Hoshana to be precise, is Om Ani Choma. Within that Hoshana, the following words are written. Haruga Alecha, I have been killed because of you, namely because of God. We are the children of God and we're being prosecuted. V'necheshevet ketzon tivcha. It's like we're cattle about to be slaughtered. Everywhere in the world. We're like, one more minute, we're going to be killed. Zruya ben Machisea, the Jewish people amongst those that hate her. And all of a sudden it says, Chavuka udvuka bach. Anyone know what that means? What's chavuka? Chibuk, hug, udvuka, cling to you. We're hated, we're prosecuted, we're killed, and yet we are clinging to you, God. It is as if to say when there's nothing left, there's no answers to the questions. Everything looks terrible out there. The only thing left is God. And thus says the Gemara in Masechet Sota, in the name of Iyov, quoting the pasuk from Iyov, and we all know Iyov went through terrible tragedies, Lu yakti yeleni, if I'm about to be killed, lo ayachel, I'd look to God. Now that doesn't mean you have this blind faith that says, oh, I have faith in God, so everything around me is great. No. Iyov said right out, if you know the book of Iyov, things are awful. My children are gone, my wife is gone, I had terrible tragedies. Awful! 100%! And at the same time, while not saying, God, you're not responsible for this, I'm coming before you, God, with terrible questions, at the same time, 1,000%, I have faith as well. I don't understand it, maybe I'll never understand it, but I'm bringing up the questions, and I'm going to bring them up clearly and coherently, and I'm not going to hide the facts, and at the very same time, I have 1,000% emunah, because I'm not making my entire faith system dependent upon the answers to those questions. No, it's not saying God give me your best punch. It's saying, God, I have very hard questions. Maybe one day I'll have answers to it, and maybe not. But I'm not going to hide the questions. I'm not going to say, where God's been in the Holocaust? Oh, you can't ask that question. No, you're going to ask that question. Where was God in the Holocaust? Somehow, God is there in 1948 when we have a state. We have a Yom HaTzmaut, we say Hallel. God was there in 1967 in the Six-Day War. We have a Hallel on Yom Yerushalayim. But God wasn't there in the Holocaust? Those years like he was taking a vacation.
You have your question, you're testing your faith, but how fulfilling is that?
Now you're asking a very good question. How fulfilling is it? I don't know. It depends on the person. I think that argument happens to be what, in my opinion, should be happening in our community. And that's what I wanted to express this morning. The expression of what we say in Masechet Shabbos, when it quotes the pasuk from Shir HaShirim, even though things are awful and terrible for me, I feel like I'm in dire straits. Ben Shaddai Alin, I'm still within God. Is that easy? It is very difficult. It's much easier to do one or the other. To say, let's not bring up the question and have this blind faith, and every time we won't deal with it. We'll go on. We'll say, Kol Mada Avid Rachmanu Latav Avid, and we'll go on. It's much easier to do the opposite too. To throw out the baby with the bathwater. To say, this happened, this is awful, bye-bye. What I'm suggesting is doing both at the same time. Now, sometimes you will have answers to hard questions. Maybe years later you'll understand why a bad thing happened to a woman earlier in life. Could very well be. Sometimes not. What I'm suggesting is that just like with any relationship, such as with parents and children, you don't always get along with your parents. And yet, you have this faith that what they're doing is usually for your benefit. Most kids don't believe their parents are out to get them. They're out to really ruin their life. Somehow what they're doing is for their benefit. They don't understand why, but they somehow have this blind faith. They're still my parents. They must mean for my benefit. I will still complain. I will still yell and shout and say I don't like it. And yet at the same time, I don't say, well, therefore they're not my parents. That's the point of view in our community. Not hiding behind these false faith statements that the people writing them don't even believe in themselves. When something terrible happens, and the first thing you do is not say it's terrible, but the first thing you do is you suggest why it happened, it's very problematic. Just to give you one story. A guy was sitting shiva, and someone came in, a rabbi, and started saying, I know you're sad, but you shouldn't be sad. What do you mean you shouldn't be sad? My father just died. He's a Melech Yosher for sure for the Jewish people up in Shemayim. So two questions. Number one, how do you know he's a Melech Yosher? What, did you talk to him? Maybe he's not a Melech Yosher. What kind of false statement is that? You have no security on that. It's nice to say. Doesn't cost me money. You can't prove me wrong. But I'm for honesty. And number two, why don't you be a Melech Yosher down here? What, you wait for someone to die, he'll be a Melech Yosher, you'll go home and smoke a cigarette? You'll be a Melech Yosher. We have a din in halacha, mitzvah, bo yoter mi bishlucho. So, you'll be the melitzer. You have to be the melitzer. You have to die in order to be the melitzer yosher. So ultimately, I believe that I'd like to see in our community statements that say, this is awful, this is terrible, and yet we have faith. And therefore, I am for bringing up the question. I am for being honest with students and with kids and with parents and with adults. I am also for 100% faith. I don't like people that make their faith dependent on their answers, because it's hidden our mindset as to how far we can get with regard to understanding the world. There's biology, there's chemistry, there's physics, there's many laws of nature. And yet we're limited. And yet we're limited. We don't understand it all. And we have to say that honestly to students and to parents and to kids. And at the same time, therefore we say we have 100% faith, and yet we don't understand 100% question and 100% faith. That's the point of view that I personally would like to see more of in our community.
Having faith is what allows you to try to find reasons for it.
Absolutely. You have a very good point that having faith gives you the ability to look for reason, because if you had no faith, there wouldn't be a reason, and therefore you wouldn't even go into it. And by the way, I'd be very careful to say the word reasons. I'd say ways to deal with a situation, not necessarily the reason, because I never like to sign on the dotted line, this is the reason why a bus was run over, or this is the reason. I like to say, here's the way the Jewish people, the human being, the family will deal with it. But only because they have faith that we... I agree.
Sometimes
that's
you can
right.
buy an insurance policy, they'll say they're exempt from acts of God.
Yeah.
And I guess in dealing with this issue, you know, when you personalize a tragedy, because when you, on the macro level, it's too large of a show of destruction. And on a small level, we can relate to it. You have a neighbor in the Beckel, his kid was driving on the road towards the gas station, he leaned over to turn his radio, he had a kid and killed a kid. Killed him with small insurance. It was quite a few months ago. You know the family property. So the father's like a military judge, and it happened in the so to say, you know, why did God allow the kid leaned over, he turned the radio, you know, why blame or even ask God? It's not even a God question. God, what, when someone does something, they're responsible. When people do things, we don't.
I agree with you. I agree with you.
So
I agree with you.
I don't have this question of
I agree with you.
Question.
Okay, I agree with you. Not every question. Say like this. I'm going
to
answer you on two levels.
If
first of all, if you're going to blame God, I agree with you and I don't agree with you. I agree with you and I don't agree with you, and I'll say what I mean. I agree with you that if you're going to ask why God allowed this to happen, you also have to ask at the same time, why did human beings allow this to happen? Why did God allow it to happen is a very legitimate question. At the same time, why did you, in the middle of driving, turn over to put on your radio and not look at the road? You have to ask that question as well. So when we ask about the Holocaust, just like you ask, why did God allow the Holocaust to happen, you have to say, where was humanity during the Holocaust? Absolutely,
why
that I agree with you.
Why is it all
at the same time, I don't agree with you that when you ask that question, you don't have to ask where is God, because God has divine providence over the entire world.
That's a separate question. That's now another question.
And therefore, to say God is not part of the equation, I can't accept.
I think that's a separate question. Does God have Hashkah in every act that occurs?
That is a very hard question. You're right. You're right. I personally think part of the debate. Excuse me. Part of the discussion, not debate. Yeah.
But God has a special relationship with the Jewish people.
That's correct.
We took a vow, now seven
Israel. That's right.
We consistently violated that vow. We go through our history from beginning to end. And he specifically stated what the consequences would be in violation of that vow.
That's correct.
Very horrible. We read it all. We read it. We should shout it, actually, but we read it in a subdued breath because
it's
I don't know why. So God honored us by giving us free choice. That was the greatest honor he paid us. He put us between Abel and Rizim, and he said, choose life.
Yeah.
So we consistently chose, made the other choice.
That's
so what is the time to hit a God?
Okay,
we took a vow, we violated it, and we're told, if you're going to violate a vow, don't take it. Better not. We could have said, at Har Sinai, this is too much for us, and
I will answer,
packed it in.
I will attempt to say as far as more the question that is that ultimately, so why does bad things happen to good people? And you just gave an answer to that. I have to say, just on your answer, that one of my big questions against that answer is that it's not doesn't automatically work that way in all situations. There are people that outright violate the laws of the Torah, and they're living it up. They're living it up.
Well, we feel
and there are people that keep every last iota of the Shulchan Aruch, and yet they get smashed with exactly those curses that are supposed to be kept for those that don't keep the Torah. So ultimately, though, we can always bring up and say, well, you violated the Torah, so you got smashed. The question is going to be, well, how did you violate the Torah? Did the violation happen with all those that were killed on the bus? If so, were they as cardinal as what the Torah speaks about? And if that's all true, then how come, at the same time, across the street, there's a gentleman living, he violates every last iota of the Torah, and he knows the laws of the Torah, and yet, God bless him, live it up.
But if it's you don't know, and I was a national, it wasn't a personal.
It
so
could
the
be.
Are gonna know, then you don't know what that
okay, goes. Okay. Well, so unfortunately, I have a schedule conflict this morning. I'd like to continue this on Sunday, God willing, and to discuss it a little more, because we didn't exhaust this topic at all. But I just wanted to then say my point of view, and I'm going to sum it up in one sentence, 1,000% questions and 1,000% faith. Now, how do you go about doing that? I'd like to continue the discussion, Bezrat Hashem, on Sunday. But remember again, Haharuga alecha v'nechshevet ketzon tizcha zvuya ben machiseh, and at the same time, chavuka u'devuka bach. God willing, Sunday will continue exactly at this point.